Thank you for coming. We all know that what David was following with David's statements on the use of traditional birth attendants in developing countries, the truth of the matter is that of all the Millennium Development Goals, the goal number 5 is with the least progress. And maternal mortality has not changed in decades, as well as newborn mortality. So something is not working. We all know what to do, but the thing that we don't know is how to do it. The Lancet series on maternal mortality and newborn mortality, you know, was very specific on defining what were the main interventions based on evidence that would produce positive outcomes in terms of newborn maternal mortality. But on the other hand, maternal mortality has not changed, so those interventions are not really reaching those populations that are in most need for them. And these are the poorest sectors of the populations in developing countries. These are the women who live in mountains. These are the women who live in rural areas, the ones who are not really being reached by the formal health system. During this presentation, I will propose a service delivery model that we have been piloting with Child Fund in 3 countries in the Latin American region for 3 years, and that we believe that this might contribute to trying to reach, to trying to bring those interventions to women who need them. How does this work? Left? There we go. I'm gonna start my presentation by, you know, touching a little bit on global context, local context. Then we're gonna go into the strategy and some results that we have found during these 3 years. 1,500 women die every year of causes related to pregnancy or childbirth. 98% of these deaths occur in the developing world. Sub-Saharan Africa leads this death toll, accounting for 50% of the global maternal mortality. And this is followed by Southeast Asia. South Asia accounting for 35%. Most maternal deaths are clustered around the first week of after birth, and largely during the first and second day. Most maternal deaths are associated with high economic costs, and mostly to the families, which most often come from the poor sectors of the population. Thus, maternal mortality has a role in producing poverty. These are the countries where we are implementing our model: Bolivia, Guatemala, and Honduras. The 3 of them are higher than the average of maternal mortality, perinatal mortality as well, and neonatal mortality rates. So this was one of the reasons why we went into working in these countries. These are national averages. In the places where we work, maternal mortality is much higher than this rate. The design of our intervention assumed that the production of health in a country is determined by the interactions of 3 main subsystems: the public sector, the private sector, and household. Thus, in order to increase delivery of health services, changes have to occur at all these 3 levels. These changes can move the or can influence the direction either on the positive or the negative side. There are several conceptual frameworks in the literature proposed to explain and identify these interactions between public, private, and household production of health in communities. We use this framework developed by Innovations for Maternal and Newborn and Child Health for identifying and categorizing the range of factors that support coverage of maternal and newborn services and for illuminating the points where implementation challenges can occur within the health system. The framework focuses the analysis on the priority evidence-based interventions defined in the Lancet series, including preventive and treatment practices. There are seven operational levels on the priority evidence, necessary to deliver high impact maternal, neonatal, and child health services. And next, there are a grouping of activities within each level as critical components that support service delivery. In our model, we focused on just three of these operational levels, number 5, 6, and 7. The strategy focuses on delivering high-impact maternal and newborn interventions around labor, around delivery, and early postpartum, and changing behaviors at each of these levels, household, community, and clinic, and clinical level. At the household level, our target is pregnant women and those women in labor and newborn and their newborns. At the community level, we focus mostly with the community as a whole, but special emphasis on the traditional birth attendant. And at the clinical service delivery level, we focused on increasing the skills to treat obstetric and newborn emergencies or complications. At the household behavioral level, we focused on three main levels: acceptability and awareness. And this is done by identifying every single pregnancy in the community and providing health education mostly or focused on danger signs to community members, not only to the pregnant woman, but also to her husband and to the family as a whole. At the social capital, we leverage resources from the community by organizing emergency transport systems using community assets and training them on identifying also danger signs and developing a plan to how to evacuate that woman if a complication occurs. And also, we focus on access by providing competency-based training to traditional birth attendants, thus bringing services closer to the household, diminishing cost on the delivery of their babies. At the outreach service level, the model focuses on linkages by this community-based emergency transport system linked to health facilities that are open 24/7. Also, by focusing on clinical performance, as I said, traditional birth attendants are trained on providing first aid to the most prevalent causes of death among women, like postpartum hemorrhage, like neonatal asphyxia, and things like that. Once the woman has been identified as having a complication, the community evacuation system is put in march. The traditional birth attendant initiates primary first aid, and the woman she accompanies the woman all the way to the clinic where she's going to receive complementary services. Commodity supplies are also available at the community level. Traditional birth attendants are given all the supplies that they need to provide this first aid to women with complications and their newborns. And also management, hour of services of these traditional birth attendants are managed by the health committee, which is organized at every community. Accessibility also, there is a reasonable distance for every single pregnancy. She has access to this traditional birth attendant 24 hours, 7 days per week. And the community receives a health education on mostly on danger signs. As I said, around pregnancy, around delivery, around postpartum and newborn. At the clinical service, the focus is on drug and medical supplies to maintain the appropriate stock to treat the most prevalent obstetric and newborn emergencies. Likewise, a physical structure is chosen based on centrality of location and access. Usually the clinic is chosen by the Ministry of Health and is designated as the referral point for any complication occurring in the community. This selected infrastructure is open 24 hours per day, 7 days per week, and all the staff is trained on clinical management of complications. The clinic also counts with a viable and functional emergency transport means to evacuate cases in need of a special treatment at a higher level facility. The package of services, both at community and clinical level, focuses on the priority evidence-based maternal and newborn services defined at the Lancet series and divided into services rendered at community or clinic aimed at women in labor and newborn. Analysis of the 3-year intervention results based on the Thaddeus main model, we found that the determinants of first and second delay of the model have been substantially improved, as evidenced here by knowledge of danger signs and delivery by a skilled health provider. The same findings for the third delay of quality of care. And what is more important, we found a newborn mortality reduction different in each country that range from 30% in Guatemala to 12% in Honduras. Some of the indicators that we measure, such as prenatal care, 4 visits for prenatal care increased from 46 to 67 with a statistical significance. Also, the mothers who received TT injections, this was not significant. On the other hand, delivery by a skilled attendant, meaning physician or nurse, was almost double, from 22 to 45%, with a strong significance. And the delivery by traditional birth attendant decreased from 46 to 39.8%. Even though the change is not significant, there was a reduction. Also, the mothers who reported use of clean birth practices increased. The mothers who received postpartum care within a period of 7 days after delivery increased substantially, almost more than 4 times. And children who received newborns who received immediately breastfeeding also increased. The project covered 17,000 beneficiaries in 9 municipalities of 3 countries. That was a total cost, $500,000. The cost per beneficiary was $13.46. Thank you.
Can we take a couple of questions now? Any questions at this time? Yes, sir.
I'm from Afghanistan. In Afghanistan, you also used to have traditional birth attendants up to 2003. But then there was a fear that they will actually delay delivery, referral of complicated cases to skilled birth attendants. Anna said she was abandoned. It was focused on training more skilled workers in the form of community networks. So since then we were able to train 2,000 of networks and deploy them in the community. So how is this issue tackled? Is there any fear that traditional worker citizens, although they are trained, once they are trained, they feel that they are small girls or they are now strong enough to do anything with a woman, and then it will cause delay to the skilled worker citizens? Was this an issue?
Mm-hmm. In our experience, that was not an issue. On the contrary, if you saw the rates of deliveries by traditional birth attendants decreased, and that was because the traditional birth attendant also she has to keep a status within the community, and a maternal mortality or newborn mortality affects that status, and also if she realizes that there is danger, there are signs that that woman can be in danger of dying, she. It's very ready to bring that woman to the health clinic. So in our experience, on the contrary, it increased the linkages that there are between the communities and the health facilities through this strategy.
Actually, trained traditional birth attendants in this project are linked to the Ministry of Health, and mm-hmm. they're recognized as extension agents. And the purpose of the project was to demonstrate increases in skilled birth attendance in facilities, but that the trained TBA is available for clean and safe delivery in the home in the case that the mother cannot be transported, in the case that she chooses not to go. So in that sense, the TTBA is viewed as a useful extension and will increase facility.
We did also a costing analysis of how much money a woman or the family has to spend when they deliver at a hospital, for example. And it's 7 times more expensive to deliver at a hospital than to deliver at home. So it has economic implications for the decision of the family where to have that baby, where to deliver that baby.
Did you have a question?
Yeah, you mentioned, so you're training the TBAs in clean delivery and neonatal resuscitation, is that right?
Correct. Where they train to measure a blood lost, and in the case of that they detect or identify hemorrhage, they're trained to do external bimanual compression and some other first aid measures to keep that woman alive. In the meantime, she's evacuated to the health clinic. Right now, we are going to engage in a pilot with funded by USAID in Honduras, where the traditional birth attendants are going to be using oxytocin.
In Uniject.
Uniject, yes.
Okay. Thank you very much.